M13. Number 2A.
Now, at that stage, you see, we have, the Bible tells us that by letting the Lord do the job, and by letting the Lord know what is mind, and what is spirit, and what is soul, that then the Lord is working out what is in His mind and in His heart, and that is an everlasting kingdom. That is the prophecy that will open up the gateway and the highway forever. But in order to arrive there in the Bible, there is still something that is to be seen. And in the Psalms of David, which may be from David or not, it doesn't matter, but it's jolly good anyway, and Jesus referred to that, David said, and the Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right side until I make thine enemies thy footstool. A new vision comes in with David, whoever it was, seeing that the Lord says to my Lord. Now it's no more saying that the Lord said to Abraham, or that the Lord said to Jacob, or that the Lord said to Moses, or that the Lord said to David. Now he began to see that wonderful coincidence between principle and idea, not only as a coincidence, but as a coincidence in understanding. Namely, the Lord said to my Lord. Well, what is my Lord? When the Lord said to my Lord, the my Lord is that which is the principled understanding which I have got. Because only that can be addressed and heard by principle. Principle can only speak to its own idea. The Lord can only speak so as that it can be heard by principle's own idea. So the Lord spake to my Lord. We would say in our terminology perhaps this, that principle interprets itself only to my principled sense of things. In other words, he could see. Yes, and then he goes on, you see, and says, and the Lord spake to my Lord, come and sit on my right side. Come and sit on the standpoint of principle. And then the third thing he says, and if you do that, then I will make thine enemies a footstool. Then, really, you see, the enemies will be no more an enemy, but a help, a footstool, that which supports you, that which is a help to you. At that point, you see, he shows that the handling of error, that the handling of evil, is only then possible when the Lord speaks to our Lord, when principle interprets itself to our principled sense of things, and not when principle speaks to our human sense of things. So you see how suddenly there is a further step forward in the Bible, where they began to realize that David as king could have a wonderful career, taking him away from the sheepcotes, making him king over Israel and Judah. Now, still a step further and said, but really, that everlasting kingdom which has been promised to David can only come when error can be handled scientifically and properly. How can it be handled? How can the enemy be made your footstool? Only then, he says, when you begin to see that principle speaks to your scientific understanding of things, to your principled understanding of things. Or else you will have that which we have seen in the first 3,000-year periods, the ebb and flow. The ebb and flow. Until I make thine enemies thy footstool. So we begin to see here that that which breaks in on our thought, we just always take it over to our period, in our development, that breaks in into our thought is that really only then can we be king, a real governor, when a principled sense of things is being established in us. Only then can the Lord speak to my Lord. Therefore, the kingdom period and afterwards the prophetic period is that period in which the scientific sense of things is established in us, where first the necessity is presented. We need a king. Let's have a king. We need a king. We need a completely impersonal, scientific understanding of principle. We can't do it anymore without personal good we have. We need now a complete willingness to let every aspect or every personal sense of mind and spirit and soul go, and be willing to let only principle interpret what is mind and spirit and soul and principle and life and truth and love. It's an enormous willingness to put ourselves out of the way and to say, all right, I will only see things as God sees them. And then in the prophetic age comes, I will only do that what God wants me to do. Where Isaiah said, here I am, use me. But before we have the courage, and before we have the trust to be an Isaiah like that, first the gentle message comes to us, first you must see the beauty, the bigness, and the grandeur of having a principled attitude towards everything. So that the Lord can speak to my Lord. Then at that point we have the coincidence of principle and idea. At that point we establish it. At that point we have that coincidence of principle and idea, which at the same time defines the Christ. Because the Christ, as Mrs. Eddy defines it among many other things, is that Christ illustrates the divine coincidence between God and man in his image and likeness. The spiritual agreement, she also says, between God and man in his image and likeness. So, at this point of going from the kingdom period over to the prophetic period, we see how the principle is expressing itself through its Christ. And therefore the prophetic age is a wonderful description of the Christ, of how principle says, I'm going to interpret myself, to establish myself, willy-nilly or nilly-willy? Willy-nilly. One of the other, I know it is. So if I say it wrong, you know that I know something is right about it. I'm going to establish that, no matter what happens, through what the Americans, I think, say, through hell and high water. So, where are we? In that stand, at that period of David, we begin to see the coincidence of principle and idea. We begin to see, therefore, that principle says, I have an idea. I should pronounce it saying, I have an idea. See, principle says, I have an idea. I don't care about your idea about divinity. Principle says, I have an idea. And principle says, and I'm going to establish that idea. And because I'm going to establish that idea, I have the power to work this idea through against every opposition. And by working it through against every opposition, I establish my idea. My idea. But it doesn't never leaves it there. They always go a step further and say, and I establish my idea for what? Because there's still a danger that then it says, all right, yes, I let the God Almighty establish his idea, I'm quite willing, and then I can use it the way I like. And then always in the prophetic age, you see, we come to some prophets which give the last point on it and says, where principle says, I establish that idea for the purpose of principle and not for you. That's the bit, the pill, which the Israelites didn't want to swallow. That's why they had to go down to captivity. That's the bit, the pill, we each one have to swallow, and I don't think we like it always very much. But that doesn't matter if it's bitter and if we like it or not like it. You see, that's just the scientific age that comes in, the principle age that comes in, which says, I don't care if you like it or if you don't like it. Where the Lord says, I am not here to please you. I am here to establish myself. And jolly well are going to establish myself. And he says, and if you like to come with me, you can come with me, and then you don't have to go into down to Babylon. You can go with me happily and jolly. But if you don't like to come with me, I force you to come with me. That's the prophetic age. So you see, slowly the kingdom period switches over to the prophetic age, where the kingdom period is that period where you begin to realize the necessity that principle has an idea and that only principle's idea matters. But then the prophetic age comes and says, I don't leave you at that, I wouldn't be a savior. Principle wouldn't be a savior at that point where it says, well, I have an idea and that idea is the only right idea. If principle would leave us a chance to back out or not. Principle says, I don't give you a chance to back out. I have a Christ, I'm a savior. I'm so wonderful in my workings. My principle is such a living principle that it will work on you day and night from the first day you are born all the way through until I bring you there where I want you to bring you. That's now to see the saving side of this principle. So, in this 4,000 year period, we must see that now we are always going to sit at the right side of God. And from there, we begin to reason. We begin to reason or to look out from God. We sit at the right side, but we don't leave it at that. We just look out. We are going out with God, and we are going to work like God, because the Lord says to my Lord, therefore, how I do is like God, And the fourth is always for God and never for some for an ulterior purpose. You say so? An ulterior purpose. Yes. So if we remember four, you see, we have already got the backbone of the prophetic age, which says, well, there is a divine principle which has an idea. Therefore, I must go out from principle, not from me. I can't have any more the God of Abraham. That's the God of Abraham. Now principle says, I am God, and I have an idea. You see, how it changes from the objective to the subjective. So it says always, I go out from God. When I go out from God, I must never leave that standpoint, therefore I must always go with God. And whatever I do, I must do like God, or I fall out of the rhythm. And I must always do it for God. If I keep those four in line, then I'm always working in the circle of infinity. Then I establish a kingdom, a principle, which is a circle, which is life, an everlasting kingdom. That's what he was promising. And that was the New Testament then established, that everlasting kingdom. Now, another point which comes now up, you see, is this, that say, all right, that's fine. Now, this week, we all only reason from God. Go out from God, and with God, and like God, and for God. But can I do that? If I want to go out from God, don't I have to be as big as God that I know how to do it? If I go out from God, then I must be God. I must be as big as God. Or how is it? How can I do that? You remember how John Dolly used always to say, well, we can never know God as a whole. But if we can't know God as a whole, he said quite rightly, you see, that if we would know God as a whole, we would have to be bigger than God. You remember that? I said that so often. That's quite true, you see. So how can we go out from God and with God and as God and for God? And that's just the point, what the 4,000-year period brings. See, which Moses didn't see yet. He just said, God is that I am that I am, and that was enormously big and everlasting and unchangeable. But the 4,000-year period now come and say, God is principle, is a king, is a governor. What have we gained if we say God is principle? If we say God is principle, if Mrs. Eddy has revealed that to us, the prophets have seen it, they may not have used the term principle, but they have used, as we'll see, the meaning of principle. Is this that if we consider God as principle, we don't need to know the whole principle. We don't need to know the whole God, because that's the marvel of a principle in any science, in any subject. That's the marvel of it, that through a principle we don't need to encircle or take in the whole of the subject, but only the structure of the subject. We don't, you see, when we study, say, physics, we don't need to know the whole of physics. You only need to know the system, the principle of physics. But with the principle of physics, we can always reach every truth of physics. But not, we don't need to encompass, that's perhaps the right word, encompass the whole of it. That's the marvels marvel of Mrs. Eddy's discovery, that's marvel of a principle by itself which has come into human evolution, that through the knowledge of a principle we can know the whole without encompassing in thought the whole. That through knowing the system of and the science of mathematics we can calculate every calculation without having to encompass in our thought or consciousness all the calculations that are possible. So that's, if you begin to love that idea of what principle means in science, I'm sure you can never leave adoring it and being astonished before the bigness of it. So this is what the 4,000 year period began to see. Began to see, well, we have to sit on the right hand of God, and yet we are not God. How can we do that? How can we look out as God if we are not God? And so they had to introduce the scientific aspect of God as principle. Where through a principle always means that you can interpret a subject, that you can analyze a subject, that you can teach a subject, that it is no more the big unknown, the big unknowable, but that it can be known. So, the moment we accept that God is principle, we have to accept quite a few things more, which most religions will not accept, or which practically every other religion will not accept. And that is the following. The moment we accept God as principle, we must accept Him as principle. And principle means by itself that it interprets itself through a system, and system needs categories, and categories needs classifications, and classifications needs law and order and rule and system and plan and design and so on. See, most people you will find are saying, yes, yes, God is principle, but they will resist what principle is. Well, what? That's illogical. Just to say God is principle, if you resist the meaning of principle. The meaning of principle is that a subject can be interpreted through system, and only through system. And system needs classification and categorism. And these classifications must have relationship between each other. Therefore it must have laws and order and rule and system and method and plan, design, form and design, you see. So that's the point which I would like to go over with you this week, you see, so as that you have something to pray about for the next 2 or 3 years. That sense that we just can't say God is principle and not accept Him as principle. To deny the inward nature of a principle. Now the inward nature of a principle, that is what we are going to see in a wonderful way in this prophetic age. That these prophets saw the system of it. That they saw that they can only interpret, sit on the right side of God and look out into the world through a system. That if they don't have a system and just look out occasionally or spasmodically or just once, that they cannot hit error on the nose. That they need the whole system in order to make thy enemies a footstool, in order that then Jesus can come and inherit the everlasting kingdom. So, I know it's not easy, especially if one has perhaps not gone through a certain schooling when one very young, where one has been trained to love system and the meaning of science. But it's we can't evade it anymore. It's unavoidable at the moment. You see, the world is going on. The world is the world of science, it's going on. And we jolly well have to see that we are handling the scientific age. We can't handle the scientific age by not being scientific in our minds. So, we will have to accept in our thought that we can, at this point of the 4,000-year period, only tackle the question through science, that this also demands categories, classifications. Then, system says, or principle says, my nature is that a principle reduces the infinite to an understandable basis. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system. So we must see that the infinite, which is infinite, cannot never be grasped as in its infinitude itself, that we can grasp the infinite through its system. And that grasping through its system demands understanding, scientific understanding. So at this point we begin to see that only the scientific understanding in us can listen and hear the system of principle. Everything else can't. The Lord can only speak to my Lord so that he sees I can sit on his right hand side. If the Lord doesn't speak to my Lord, I may hear this and that, but I will never sit on the right-hand side of His Majesty on high. Never. Because there is no complete coincidence. I can only hear truth, their truth. I may like it. I may be happy about it. It may even help me. It may even do this and that good to me. But I will never sit on the right hand of the Lord. And that's the whole purpose to which the Bible goes to, you see. In the epistles, Paul's epistles end with Hebrew, where he always speaks about that way that we have found now, the way with which we can sit at the right hand of His Majesty on high and rule with God until I make my enemies my footstool. Another point, which principle tells us? Principle tells I'm the only practical thing on earth. Principle says there is nothing practical on earth except principle interpreting itself through system and categories. Do you think that's true? Well, let's take physics. Let's take any science which we teach today. What would physics be to us without science? Would it be practical? Would electricity be at our use without science? Electricity exists without our knowledge of science, but it can't be used. Nothing is useful without that we have investigated the subject through science.